Ahoy.
Yes, sir. Why were you so rude to that gentleman?
Did you hear how he was talking?
Wanted nothing more than payback for our country.
What do you mean? What's your name?
Well, our boys and girls are defending freedom around the world.
What do you, an old guy like you, want to go and talk about payback? For what?
Well, by God, I did my bit in Korea.
All right,
and,
so you did
I'm
your bit in Korea.
I'm too old to do it now. But by God, I'd go over there anywhere for some payback.
Where you would want to what? Start an altercation over there?
Well,
maybe a little scuffle?
Can I finish your sentence, please, sir?
Well, go ahead. You're talking again. Just stupidity, ignorance, and nonsense.
First of all, I salute that gentleman for being a true
American.
Well,
then you're just as stupid as he is.
All we want is a little payback.
What kind of payback do you want, sir? You fought in Korea. Okay, you fought in Korea. What are you going to do?
Well, I'd like a little respect.
You'd like a little respect.
As Fred Thompson said when he came here to Naples, how about some applause, people? I have devised a plan.
The war is over. Okay.
I can't do anything, and my hearts go out to all of the Americans that have been murdered by Chinamen.
Wow.
But our boys and girls are overseas right now in two wars fighting the Mohammedans. And that's where I'd like to see a little payback.
With these
Mohammedans.
You got Iraq, you've got Iran, you have all the Middle East countries.
They're all Mohammedans. And if I had my way, by God, if I was fit enough, I've devised a plan to get payback on all of these, and I could actually use that gentleman's F-250.
All right, well, let me ask you this, sir. You brought up China.
If I could find a young man with some wherewithal and a desire for payback, I wish I had that gentleman's number, because I'd tell him exactly what to do with these Mohammedans.
All right, wait a second. You know what? I'm going to prove your ignorance, too. You've brought up China. You've brought up Korea. You've brought up the Mohammedans in the Middle East. All for payback. And you want payback.
Oh, by God, why don't you open a book? Read a newspaper, Christ's sake.
Why don't you go down? Why don't you tell me right now, sir?
I want payback for Oklahoma City. The Mohammedans have been hitting us for years.
Give me a list of the people you want payback for. Who would be China, North Korea, maybe? We'll put them on the list.
I'll tell you what. Those Germans are sitting high and mighty now.
Okay, the Germans.
And so are the Japanese, and guess who paid for that?
And
me, the American taxpayer.
So we got Japan on there, Germany on there.
Marshall over there with a blank checkbook.
How about shutting up? You're an ignorant old man.
You know what?
That has a
big chip
on your shoulder.
You need to learn a thing or two about respect and listen to my plan for payback from those Mohammedans.
All right, what's your plan?
I'd need a young, patriotic young gentleman willing to change his name legally. He would have to change his name.
Yeah.
And it'd have to be on official documents so they'd know he meant business.
Right, so we're talking forgeries.
He'd have to change his name.
Yeah, change his name.
Lucifer Piggott.
yeah, and then what?
And then, well, why, we'd hunt some hogs, and we'd hollow out the head of the hog. He'd wear that as a ceremonial headdress.
Oh, shut up.
Would get a bunch of real footballs, the real pigskin, and we'd take over a bunch of wild hogs, similar to the ones that Jesus cast into the sea, and they have them wired with explosives.
I'm hanging up on you now.
These Mohammedans are scared to death of swine.
Right. What about Germany? What about Japan? What about China? What about North Korea?
Well, I think that I'd have to give that some thought and find out what they're frightened of.
I think
in China they're frightened of a boogeyman.
Think about it. Call me later. Call me later. You stoop. You ignorant stoop. Oh, so mad I broke the phone.
Broke the phone again.
I broke it.
Nice.
Cannot believe that guy wants them all. Maybe this one's got a little bit. Well, ahoy.
Hey, Stan, how you doing?
Yeah, how are you?
It's
Sergeant Blunden.
Ah, Sergeant Blunden, yes, sir.
Yeah, been a while since I spoke to you. Sir. Hope all's well with you, and belated happy birthday to your daughter.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sergeant. Sergeant Sean Blunden, you're not a real sergeant, right?
I'm a law enforcement officer.
Law enforcement, security guard. Yeah, yes.
Here in the Southwest Florida region of operations.
Right.
I can tell you right now, sir, this sergeant is overdue, wanting some payback, and I would be happy to change my name to Lance Piggott or Lucifer Piggott, whatever
what
it was.
What is it with this payback? What do you want payback for?
I think the United States of America, in case you're unaware, I think we all want payback. I think you're the only one that is in bed with the Mohammedans and and the Chinamen and the Koreans and the
right.
Japs. And
the
and,
Japs and the Krauts.
Krauts,
Krauts, Nips.
No, you're an apologist. You're a Tojo stooge.
What, Sergeant? And I use that term so loosely, Sergeant. What's your?
You know, when are we going to get off our ass and do something? Somebody pisses off the Russians. By God, they roll the tanks.
Uh-huh. And so
we're sitting on our thumbs.
So you, Sergeant Blunden, think that we should go to war strictly for payback right now?
I think right now that...
You would suggest a multi-front war, a war in China, a war in the Middle East, which we already have, a war in Germany, a war in Japan. Just go down the list. Just go payback. And that's the sign of being a true patriotic American.
Well, what the Russians have done with their invasion is they've shown people around the world who's boss.
Uh-huh. So you think that
they're not afraid for some payback?
So they've one-upped us in the who's boss in the world kind of thing with one of their satellite countries. We should cross oceans to go and get our payback because we come across looking weak.
Well, yeah, I mean, what are we doing in Afghanistan? We're sitting there twiddling our thumbs.
I don't think we're sitting there twiddling our thumbs.
Well, we should be owning Pakistan.
We can't go and just start owning Pakistan.
Let me reintroduce you to an old term. It's called carpet bombing.
Are you serious?
Nothing strikes terror into a nation of people more than carpet bombing civilian areas like cities.
And kill innocent women and children and just carpet bomb it.
That's going called collateral damage. I think if it was up to me, we'd leave the Olympic Village and that beautiful stadium alone, but Beijing would be in rubble otherwise.
You are going around calling yourself a sergeant like you're some kind of military guy and telling me...
I'm not military. I'm law enforcement.
About carpet bombing and your life. You are a security guard who rides around in a golf cart at one of these gated communities and you get...
I'm doing my part.
You are
I'm front line in the war on terror, sir.
You're not doing any part.
And I don't appreciate where you're going with this. I have tried to join every branch of service, and for psychological reasons, I am unable to serve my country.
Not surprising.
So I'm doing the best thing that I can right now, which is to be a frontline soldier in the war on terror.
And what do you fight every day? Tell me about some of the things you fight every day. What is it?
Suspicious packages.
Suspicious packages.
Vehicles. I've purchased my own mirror. Where I can check under cars that are coming in and out of Pelican Landing.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
By God, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, sir.
They say that it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when the next attack happens.
Right.
All I can tell you is it ain't going to happen in Pelican Bay.
Right. And this law, that law, you, sir, this law enforcement officer is ready for it, isn't he?
You come into Pelican Bay, sir, I am the law.
I'm not talking. You guys, you're nuts.
I would like to connect with that Korean War veteran, and I think you owe him a debt of gratitude and an apology for disrespecting
him. You know what?
I
don't know that I disrespected him. Yes, he is owed a debt of gratitude for his fighting during the war to go and say it's payback time for about 8 countries and you joining in with him. You guys are all nuts.
Do you have no patriotic bone in your body?
I'm plenty patriotic.
How can you not want payback?
Payback? What am I going to do? Try to get one up on the things that happened 40 years ago?
You know what? I know how the media operates.
You do,
and I know how you people operate.
You people,
Because I understand it. You think you're talking in code, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you're done. Good day, and you know what?
I'll tell you.
Goodbye.
And if one of our Americans is going to get shown up by some nip tin can, so help me Jesus.
Oh.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
With an earthquake, birds and snakes and aeroplanes, Stan and Haney are still not afraid. Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Jesus.
Hey everybody. Stan and Haney, Thursday edition. What's the matter, Haney?
I guess people look at my computer as a public computer.
Well, yeah, when they walk in, it's the first computer they see, and they got to kill time. Well, what are they doing?
I guess they ran out of time because somebody was uploading their resume to another company.
So they're job hunting on your computer.
Yeah, and I guess they had the NBC2 weather up there, but they don't understand. My computer can't read the script that NBC2 runs,
not
so it
juice.
Just spins.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only like 3 or 4 websites you can access from this.
Hey, I'm so excited. I got it. Somebody call me. We got to try out these phones. Somebody.
Oh, yeah. You got a new.
I just want to see.
Not lines, an actual phone.
A new phone system because they determined they put the copper lines in, but there's something wrong with the phone, too.
That we've been talking about for 10 years
no,
plus.
That phone that we've had in here is easily 12, 13 years old.
And it never worked right.
Now, we got copper lines installed, and then the thing that pushed them over the edge is the old phone system got hit by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And so they finally said, well, there might be something wrong with it.
And then we all found right. out that everybody else has had new phones for a while, and ours has been in a box in an office. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I got a chance to look at it. All right. Let me go and try
now
this.
You,
why'd you just hang up on them?
What you've got here now, compared to what you used to have, I don't know that this is going to be good, because this is a tiny phone, like a princess phone compared to what you had.
Wait, let me try this.
And your fat fingers.
Yeah, it's okay. The buttons are real. I don't know how it's going to work yet.
Did they put in the oversized buttons?
They're pretty big buttons. It's just the old ones were vertical. These are horizontal.
Uh-huh.
I just got to look. I have enough problems with phones, period. Let me just see if I can make this work.
Stan, we'll do what we did before.
What?
As long as it takes.
Yeah. This is my tutorial right now. I'm learning how to use the phone.
So this is the unbox
of
the new phone system.
Now, he's got the great... I have the red line. Now, wait a second. Let me try this.
Now, you were telling me...
Can I answer? Just let me answer one. Just then what did it say? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, it's Paul.
Hey, Paul.
That sounds pretty good.
Can you hear me good?
I hear you loud and clear.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear Haney?
Oh, Haney sounds wonderful.
Awesome. Okay. Good. Let me try another line. Watch this. Let me see. Ahoy.
Ahoy, gentlemen.
Look at this.
It's working.
Wow, that sounds great.
It does. It sounds great. Let me try another one. Look at this. I can tell in my headphones
yes.
The quality's even better. Watch this. There we go.
But it's the copper.
It's the copper, and it's a new phone.
Because the other phones were designed for what they call telephony.
Well, and it was broken.
Yep.
There was a chip in there or something. I kept trying to tell them. Let me try. Hold on.
But nobody believed you.
Yeah. Ahoy.
Ahoy, you said to call?
Yeah. You sound great. Thanks.
But you hung up on the other guy.
What other guy? No, I didn't.
You said, ooh.
No, I hit the wrong button.
Oh, okay.
I'm still learning how to do this because...
Now, is this coordinating? Because you said he puts people on hold on one line and you get a different line?
No. He's got what they call the producer's row. KCS, so if he wants to screen phone calls, he can pick them up on what we call the green line. I picked them up on the red line.
Who decided those colors? It sounds almost
the company,
like the opposite.
The company decided it. The company, not our
yours
company.
Yours should be the green line.
Mine.
His should be the red line because they're not ready yet.
Mine. No, because it's going to flash green that it's ready to go.
But then that's his.
Look, I didn't invent this phone.
It just sounds awfully confusing to me.
Now watch. Here we go.
Now what is it ringing to you?
It's ringing. The green line is ringing.
Okay, well that makes sense then.
And then I'm going to go to the red line,
See, that doesn't make any sense.
Red
now.
Means caution. You're on the air. Oh no, that's yellow.
Red means stop.
Yellow means clear the
red
area.
Red means no go. Red means ho.
Oh look, he hung up already before I can get to him. Watch this. Watch this. Going to pick it right up.
And this is red.
Uh-huh. Ahoy.
Okay, here. Hello?
Perfect.
All right, we can put that to bed.
Yep. I feel good. New phones. I can hear them. They can hear me.
And it's almost like it was engineered for you.
It's almost
because
like...
Because it makes sense to you even though it's wired backwards.
And the fact of the matter is, We've been telling them for over a decade something's mm-hmm. wrong, and we get yelled at and say, no, it's not. No, it's not.
If the average listener understood the lengths that we have been sabotaged in so many ways.
Truly sabotaged. So.
You know the key to that?
What?
Don't give up.
No, and we win right there.
I don't know that we win.
I got a new phone.
For how long?
Till somebody else breaks it.
Yeah, because it will never be you.
No, because I know how to use it.
Mm-hmm. You just demonstrated it.
Yep. Tell you, that light flashing like that's going to get on my nerves. The old phone had a little light that you could ignore it.
Now, does it flash green or
it's
red?
It's flashing green.
See, I like that, but then if you want to answer it, it's got to turn red.
My button turns red. See, come here. Come here. I want to show you something. Grant, use that microphone right there. Come up close to the phones. All right.
Okay, that's a nice shade of green.
All right.
What do you call it, a Kelly green?
Yeah, that's sure. A lime, maybe. That's his phones. These are people calling
in. So that's
in.
For him.
Yes. Now, I want to get it. I hit the one right below it and watch it go red. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
See, perfect.
Yeah, I still say it's reversed.
Look, this is the way they engineered the phone. I can get used to it. Now, once I get used to it, driving on the roads will confuse me. I see red, I think go.
Yep. And then the engineer will, one day you'll come in and it'll be reversed. The engineer will go, yeah, I got wired in wrong. We fixed it.
Yeah.
After you've done it for a year.
So, I'm going through our archives.
Voluminous archives.
There are chunks where it goes for years, and there are chunks where it doesn't go for a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Or two.
Or two and a half. And where nothing can be found.
What was I saying about sabotage?
Yeah. But you didn't know that would be your own person working for you. So I'm going through 10 years to the day. Today's August 16th, and I was listening. So let me go back a day earlier. So 10 years yesterday, I'm listening to Mark Haney's newscast. Earlier this week, we had Ed McMahon. We replayed an Ed McMahon, friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea in 2008... I mean, Obama hadn't even been sworn in yet. He didn't. He still had his 8 years to go, and he hadn't even been. Bush was still president. Little did we know, 10 years ago on Mark Haney's newscast, he would talk about our friend Ed McMahon and Donald Trump. Here's Haney's news from 10 years ago yesterday. 10 years.
By now, you've probably heard that Johnny Carson's old sidekick, our personal friend, Ed McMahon, is having serious financial trouble.
Yep.
It's actually to the point where Ed McMahon is going to lose his mansion in Beverly Hills. McMahon faced foreclosure in 2 weeks on his home of 18 years because he defaulted on $4.8 million in mortgage loans. He said he can't work because of a neck injury that happened a year and a half ago. He's an old man.
He's well into his 80s.
His wife has expensive tastes.
Yes, she does. Likes to shop.
So again, not if, but when. And the when is 2 weeks. He would have been kicked out of his house. So, at the last possible minute, Donald Trump has come to the rescue and is going to buy Ed McMahon's house and lease it back to him so he will have a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you think of a stand-up guy always there for those in need, you think Donald Trump. According to the LA Times, Donald Trump said, quote, "I don't know the man."
Probably doesn't.
"But I grew up watching him on TV. I used to watch him every night. How could this happen? At one point, the house was listed at $7 million. Now it's down to 4.6.
And Trump knows a bargain.
Mm-hmm. Trump said he's doing it because helping Ed McMahon would be, quote, an honor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Find prime real estate, bargain basement prices for that.
How long could the guy live?
Right. 2-3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Tops.
Great publicity, great investment.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why it pays not to have a heart.
10 years ago, we had no idea. We had a administration to finish in 8 years of another.
We did, and I was thinking about this because so often when we're off the air because you don't want it on the air, you know, I'll blow off steam about what's going on in the world and the things that I've learned, and you'll let me blow off steam for a couple of minutes, and then you'll stop, put your hands on your hips, and go, okay, Haney, you realize there's not a GD thing you can do about
it. There isn't.
And listening to that,
yeah,
I think that was the stirrings with Donald Trump. They're going, you know what, I can do things.
And he did. And you know what? Ed McMahon lived comfortably until his last breath. I think. I don't quote me on that.
Well, we didn't talk to him.
No.
He was ill.
Yep. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
The battered bastards of Beasley Broadcasting. Stan and Haney. On 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Welcome to the show. We'll be doing the grab bag here in just a second. Also coming up today, we'll play Stan's What's on the List. You name one of the things on the list, you'll get yourself a prize. And then later on today, our question of the week. It's a question where only you will have the right answer. It's not a yes or no answer. It is your story, and we'll do that a little bit later on today. Absolute Law text line, and I want Junior, get to the bottom of this. Unnamed text. Hey, guys, Dave the Waterman just rescued a baby raccoon. He named it Stan. How do I know this? He just posted it on Instagram. What the hell? So check, do you have his Instagram account?
I have D-Train's Instagram. I thought D-Train saved it.
Well, like, then why, like, is D-Train Dave posted putting on his Instagram that he saved a raccoon and named it Stan?
Let me double check, because I'm pretty sure I saw
all
it on
D-Train. Check on that for me. Check on that. Thank you, Junior. I appreciate that. What the hell? Doesn't he have anything better to do?
No.
Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug.
I want you to think that question through.
Yeah. Idiot.
And you gotta remember, it's whatever's in front of him is the most important thing.
The Queen of Soul has passed away.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Aretha Franklin.
What do you want to be most remembered for?
Certainly the music and for my humanitarian contributions.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher.
That's Dusty Springfield.
52 years of recording for other people. I thought at this point, it's time for you to record for yourself. So and that way there wouldn't be so many spoons in the soup. There would just be one Aretha spoon in the soup. And I'll take responsibility for all of it.
As the old folks say, I'm stepping right along.
were so beautifully musically matched. Stuck to the script when we did some really, really good singing.
We played it.
Yeah. When it was new.
Yeah.
Notice how her voice is so much better with what real instruments. Something for you. The Queen of Soul passes away on August the 16th. The King of Rock and Roll passes away on August the 16th. Did they hold the plug in just... Okay, now it's... Same day. Elvis died August 16th, 1977. Aretha Franklin, August 16th, 2018. That was such a great demonstration. When you hear her voice accompanied by actual instruments, it's stunning.
Yep.
And even though it's a decent enough song, when you hear a lot of the digital samples, it just doesn't have the same thing.
Yep. New segment on the show. I think we ran one episode, and I guess management wants it back because we're here to appeal to everybody. It's our Millennial Minute.
Wow.
Hey, welcome to Millennial Minute. My name is Caden, Erica, Sienna, Ross, Michael, Smith, Edwards. This is the show for millennials by millennials. We go to the mail and we do the hashtag of the day. Who's our mail from, Christina?
Today's mail comes from Rebecca in Portland, Oregon.
Awesome. All right, cool. And what does she have to say?
She says, hi, Caden. My boss came up to me at work the other day and asked what I was doing when I was obviously doing nothing. I said nothing, and he told me to get back to work. That is like literally the worst I have ever felt. Is this literally the meanest thing you have ever heard?
That's literally the meanest thing I've ever heard in my life. Absolutely. So passive aggressive. And that brings me to our hashtag of the day. Stop boss bullying. We're never going to stop these bosses asking us what we're doing when we're obviously doing nothing if we don't hashtag stop boss bullying. Thanks for joining us on Millennial Minute. Check us out next time. I'm Caden, Erica, Sienna, Ross, Michael, Smith, Edwards.
God help us all.
Yeah, and there are people down the hallway that are hearing that going, yeah, finally they're getting it. We need to run a lot of this stuff. Now I know why they're in the radio business.
I just think about some of the bosses that I've dealt with.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, you know, one in particular. And I don't think they'd survive the level of boss that I had in 1990. He was inappropriate by 1990 standards.
Yep. Yeah. You can't be a boss today.
Oh, this guy, he was a psycho.
They got to be your friend.
And, you know, I've had a bunch of bosses, and a lot of them were emotionally disturbed.
Yes.
And I hate to have to say it, but I've had to have some of them let go.
Yep, it's happened. I know for a fact. Oh, happy 100th birthday to Ruth Parker. She celebrated her 100th birthday with a little celebration at the Taco Bell. Now, all Ruth wanted was a cup of coffee, and Taco Bell doesn't have coffee.
I feel all right for being 101, I guess. They said we don't sell coffee, but one of the help brought instant coffee, will make you a cup.
No matter what we all know Miss Ruth, and we all make her a part of our lives, and we talk to her, and, you know, we just love her to death.
And Becky is a doll. She is a wonderful, wonderful person.
We'll see her at 102 next year, and we're going to make it even bigger.
Maybe get some real coffee for her if you know she's coming.
Crying out loud.
This is, I love this. Oh, politics can be so nasty. Dateline, Hallandale Beach, Gulfstream Park.
Beautiful place.
It is. It's gorgeous. The mayor of Hallandale Beach got into an argument with a city commissioner during a public meeting and claimed her family makes its money from sphincter bleaching. You see, the commissioner's mother apparently owns a spa where they sell skin bleaching products. They
sound so healthy.
Yep, the mayor decided to use that. How dare you? As an example of what kind of woman she is. With sphincter bleaching, and this is all real.
So you don't know what my tax return says, do you? Did you look at my Form 1 form? Why don't you put in a public records request, or just go online, because it's online, and see how much, or see where my earned income came from last year. Was it getting my sphincter bleached? Is that what I earn my income for?
Probably.
Oh, okay. Now that would be you and your family business. Congratulations. Sphincter bleaching is a very up-and-coming business.
You know, I didn't hear anything there that would compel me as a citizen of Hallandale as to which candidate might be better for the community.
Okay. And a beautiful community. Gorgeous. I'm going to make a...
That's pathetic.
It is pathetic! I'm going to make a decision right now, and I don't need the headaches. I don't need the headaches. I was going to play you a clip of Paul McCartney's latest release. And nothing, zero bad is said in this Paul McCartney song. But people are hearing things, and people hear things that they don't that don't exist.
I may as well, then.
The song is called Fuh You. Slang meaning, I'm going to do this, fuh you.
You say that a lot.
Yep.
Fuh.
Yep. Fuh. That's what he's saying. It's the slang. But when the song is played and the chorus is singing, people are hearing the F word. And it's done with intention. But he says he does not
like that time,
say the word.
Like that time we got in trouble when I said...
No, you absolutely said it.
No, I didn't. I just said, hey, Stan.
Stop.
If you see Kay... Give her a message for me.
Right. If you see Kay, lovely lady. But I got it right here. He doesn't say the F word. He uses the line that's getting everybody all worked up. I just want it by you.
I swear that proves Paul McCartney listens to this show. Because I don't think anybody other than that giant, because he says, fee-fi-fo, fuh.
So, you know what? I had it to play. I'm not.
Why?
I'm not going to go and even open up the kettle of worms.
Well, why would you bring it up at all, then?
Because I had it in front of me, and I got it on the disc.
And now everybody wants to hear it.
Right.
Only because you said they couldn't.
All right.
You're such a manipulator.
All right, I'll play it.
You are a manipulator.
Now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time.
You just wanted an excuse to play Paul McCartney. And this whole dog and pony show.
Because it's not a very good song.
Well, when's the last time you put out a very good song?
I'll tell you when. 1997.
What was that? Flaming Pie?
Yep. And he, Jeff Lynne was the producer, and he had,
I thought what he did with Nirvana was okay.
That was good. No, I'm not playing it.
You are just...
All right, I'll play it. Nothing, I will repeat, nothing bad is being said. If you hear it, it's your own head telling you, because he's saying, Fa. Fa.
What?
Fa. Here it is. This is the new Paul McCartney song. Nothing bad is said.
On the night that I met you, I was on the town. On the night that I met you, I just want to know.
Nothing.
I didn't hear anything.
Nothing bad was said. Aerosmith is going to Vegas, baby.
You come not just to sing, but with a big announcement.
We decided to do Vegas. Viva Las Aerosmith. First, we're going to move there.
Yeah.
Wow. Then we're going to go shopping there.
Well, we want to bring a show in there that we really can't do when we're on the road on a regular tour. So we want to bring a show that still has Aerosmith and all the guts of Aerosmith, but has a whole nother element to it that we've never been able to do before.
Bring you into Aerosmith world, the history behind our almost 50 years of being together, and as soon as you walk into the Park Theater in Vegas, you're going to walk into Aerosmith world. Everything about it is going to be Aerosmith, Aerosmith, Aerosmith.
Is Apple and the iPhone tracking everything you do?
Well, on the instructions of the Chinese government, which owns them, yes.
At Apple, we've been getting a lot of questions from users lately about just how well your phone knows you. So let us assure you that no, your iPhone is not spying on you. What your iPhone is doing is keeping track of your passwords, your fingerprints, and your face, while also tracking your movements. And sending any photos you take to our corporate database. I mean, to iCloud, where it's safe. Apple, we're not spying on you, but we have your nudes and we know where you are.
All right, grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls and get to try out the new phone system. You should have no problem staying connected with us. You should have no problem hearing us. We should have no problem hearing you because we got brand new phones.
Well, I think it's great. The only problem we're going to have now is when Stan's on the road, because of the buttons on the phone, he's going to think that a green light means stop and a stop light means go, because they got it wired, the phone, backwards.
Yep. We'll be back.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Telephone number into the studio. We got the new phone. Should be no problem. Area code 239.
All color-coded.
Yep. 239, that's the area code if you're outside of our immediate listening area. 277-9600. You contribute to the show. We could give you a prize. Call in now. I'll go over the prizes in a second. I also, Dave the Waterman, I have no idea how to get a hold of this guy. He has weird out-of-state numbers. I just had Junior try calling him. I've tried texting him. I need you, Bonehead, to call the station on the special line so that I can talk to you and find out what the hell are you doing with obviously a raccoon, a baby raccoon that you're posting all over Instagram, claiming you named it me. Now, let me tell you something. I just saw the picture of the raccoon. This thing is not sustainable. It can't live without its mother. It's that young. It is a coon that needs milk, mama's milk. And what Dave is going to do is kill it. So
he's saving it.
He ain't saving it from anything. The thing shouldn't be away from it unless he's going to bottle feed it and goes down to some animal place and gets a raccoon formula. He's not going to save it. Idiot. All the rest of you can use the regular lines, 277-9600. Love to hear from you, especially since the phones work all nice and everything, I think.
It's a red letter day.
If you can,
I mean a green. No, it is a red letter day, not a green letter day.
I answer the red line. Junior screens it on the green line. Here's what we have available this break. We have a bottle of Stan and Haney Barbecue Saw. We have a complimentary auto health check from Naples Nissan that includes an oil change, brake check, top off the fluids, tire rotation, multi-point inspection. You don't have to have a Nissan for that. We also have tickets. Your choice. Upcoming Miracle Game. You want to go and hang out and watch some baseball and have a cold one? Got tickets for you. You pick the game you want to go to. Yeah, we still have them. I thought they were long gone. You can have a pair of them. Stan and Haney bobbleheads. We'll even sign them for you.
Are we sending those bobbleheads out, by the way?
Oh, you did get the address for her, did you not, Junior? Forwarded. She heard us, and the address for that girl, I think, what was she, in Illinois?
Oh, that was your email from earlier?
Yes.
I got that.
All right. Okay. And it has her address on it?
Let me double check. Yeah.
Yeah, I sent it to you so we can box it up. Haney will pay for the postage.
Yep. I can't do that every time.
No.
But.
So we got the bobbleheads. This is a great place. They brought food earlier in the week. KJ Steakhouse in Fort Myers.
Very impressive.
We tried their steak. We tried their meatloaf. We tried their chicken. Delicious.
Well, you tried their chicken. It was gone by the time I got my plate.
They were going crazy with it. We also have $20 to Bernie's City Diner in Naples. And that's what we got for you. 277-9600. Call in. Contribute to the show. Let us check out and see how these new phones are working. And we could award you a prize.
All right. Now, you asked Dave to call in.
Yeah, which he doesn't. Only when it's convenient for him.
That's like a one-on-one communication. Do you mind if I use the radio as one-on-one communication?
Yeah, go ahead.
Morgan, I need you to come cut my grass, bud.
Yeah. You know what? He has an association. They're getting mad. 277.
That's true. It's not me.
I'm not kidding you. 277-9600. What do you got for us, Haney? Oh, yeah. All right, let me try him out here. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, it's Mike.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
I'm just wondering, the Millennial Minute, is that a real thing, or is that just a joke that you guys came up with?
What do you think? It sounds real, doesn't it?
It does sound very real.
It's too real. You know what it is? It's too real.
It's ridiculous.
I'm waiting for the next episode. We get it fed to us, and if I get another episode, I'll run it, but it sounds pretty accurate to me.
The next generation.
Can I get you something?
Nope, I'm good. Thanks, guys.
But who's responsible for that, really?
We are. Our generation, because we allowed that to happen.
That's not how I raised my child.
No, that's not how I raised mine. But somebody, a millennial once told me, well, do you know how we've learned all of this stuff? Your generation is the age of who are teaching us now. Your generation are the employers. Your generations are the ones doing the hiring.
You know what?
And you're telling us this is okay.
Well, that's true because, you got Obama and Valerie Jarrett and that whole crew. Yeah. They're all red diaper babies.
Okay. Yes. What is that?
Born commies.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a red diaper on them. They're all socialists.
Communists.
Ahoy. Ahoy. Can you hear me?
Ahoy.
Yeah.
Ahoy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead, Sporty.
Hey, this is Larry. Ahoy.
Hey. Ahoy, Larry. How are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say I heard the news about the Queen of Soul. I turned 12 when Elvis passed away. Today's my birthday, and then I just heard about her.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how that happened? I want to give you a birthday present. What do you want?
Oh, I would love the bobblehead.
All right, hold on. Hold on.
Awesome.
Yeah, all right, hold on. See, now I just put him on hold. Now you pick up your line. Line two, pick up your line, and he should be there. Oh, I think I'd push it. Try. Are you still there?
I'm here.
All right, hold on. I'm learning these phones. Hold on. Let me try.
Hold on.
Oh, try that. Is he there? Okay, good. I did it. I did it right. 277-9600.
You should be proud.
Yeah. I had somebody in the radio station, and I pointed it out, that Aretha Franklin had been sick for a very long time. And she
oddly
had,
enough, she was sick for a very long time, but they said it was pancreatic cancer,
which is the worst,
which usually gets you right away.
Now, which is why I'm saying, and I wasn't the one that said it, and it's somebody in the building that I respect and knows music, said that the family, because the way that they exploited her for her entire life, the way that the husband she had, the family that she had, that they may have let her hang on so that she can pass away on this date so that it's kingdom.
No.
And I said.
I don't want to believe that.
I said it is plausible because that has happened before in the past. Let me give you a little example. You've done it about the presidents. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on the 4th of July. James Monroe, I believe it was him, it could have been him or Madison, I think it was Monroe, was horribly sick, like on July 2nd. And the doctor said to him, as he was coming in and out of consciousness, I can give you something that will allow you to live a couple of more days so you can die on the 4th of July, just like Jefferson and Adams. And he said, no, I won't do it. But other coincidence, John Lennon, his son Julian, was born on his birthday. Why? Not a natural birth. They just made sure, Yoko made sure, that his son would be born on his birthday.
What'd she do? Just hold it?
Induced. I don't. It's sick. It's sick to think about that way. I'd like to think of it as just a pleasant coincidence that when you mention Elvis passing, you also have to mention the Queen of Soul. You got the Queen of Soul, the King of Rock and Roll, same day. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Todd from Fort Myers.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, Todd, what's going on?
Not much. I just noticed a little beep, but it's my turn. That's great. It makes it obvious.
Oh, we didn't even know about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do know about that. That's why the engineer told me I have to wait a second before I say ahoy.
Because there's a beep?
Because you hear a little sound as I pick up the phone.
Yeah, you go from live to a little beep knowing that I'm up, which is great.
That is, this is awesome. I am so happy with these
phones. And it sounds great.
And it sounds great. You sound great. The lines are holding. Everything is great.
I'd like to welcome Junior.
Yeah, okay. And he just nodded his head with a smile, a little confused, but he acknowledges
it. Hard worker.
He's a hard worker, and you only have to tell him something once.
Great. And then the reason my call, over the last couple weeks, I've heard some confusion about sick bins. And Stan, you said something once that is so apropos that I think you should try to incorporate it. You got to live where you're at. So when you try to get a sick bin, you got to live where you're at.
Oh, absolutely.
You're not just visiting. So I want to hear more of that because that just fits. And when you said it, you kind of laughed it off, and I haven't heard it since.
Well,
but
that's a rule that we have here.
And I agree with that.
I appreciate it. Why, did we give you a fake stick pin?
Oh, heck no. I would never even try to claim a fake stick
pin,
even when I was Cancun and trying to call in.
But you know what? There are people out there that just want to go and sabotage the map.
Yep. So you got to live where you're at.
The gift that keeps on giving. Stan talk.
Yep, well, and he understood it. Take a look at that map.
It's a thing of beauty.
Now, we get from time to time, oh, you need to give out the area code, because just north of us is a different area code, south of us is a different area code, and, oh, you need to give it out in case we're calling. Well, I give out the area code, and that's for people that stream the show, might have the app on their phone, might be doing it through Alexa, might be having it hooked up in their car. And if you live in the town in which you are calling us from, outside of our area...
You gotta live where you are.
Gotta live where you are. And then you'll get the stick pin. Don't tell me that you're going up to, you know, Buffalo, because you're gonna go and visit family and you'll be back down here in 2 weeks. That doesn't count for a stick pin. I appreciate that caller understanding that. He gets it.
A lot of people don't appreciate Stan talk, but there's a lot of truth to it.
Darn right there is. I want you to figure out what I just said. Ahoy!
Ahoy! Hi. How are you, Stan?
Hi, who's this?
This is Gloria.
Hi, Gloria.
Gloria.
I think he did that the last time you called, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Gloria.
I just want to tell you... I left my dad to pancreatic cancer 7 years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I was there. My sisters were there. We were waiting for our brothers to come down from Chicago. This was Southern Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was on a respirator machine, and they said it was just to help him with his breathing. And finally, one day, a light bulb went on, and I said to the nurse, "That's keeping him alive, is it?" And she kind of said, "Yes." Once my brothers got there, and we had a chance to gather around my dad, I'm getting choked up. And say our final goodbyes. We told him to disconnect the respirator, and he was gone in about 20 minutes.
So you can understand that, holding on to somebody that is living and going through that, to make sure that everybody is around, then, okay, we all agree that this is the time we're going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how long we can keep him going like that, but I know with my dad, he was in intensive care for over a week, and he was on that respirator, and I finally realized that respirator is keeping him alive, and sure enough, it was.
Yeah, and I appreciate you letting us know that, and again, our sympathies.
Yeah, so I think that's what they did.
Can I get you something?
No, thank you. Just keep the good shows coming. I
thank you, Gloria.
Your show whenever I'm in my car.
Thank you, dear.
And as you pointed out, Aretha Franklin gone on the same date as Elvis. Something else in common, and we did talk about this when it came out. We love what this orchestra has been doing with Elvis Presley, and they did do it with Aretha Franklin.
Really? Let's get a little of it. We got about a minute, and we got to take a break.
The Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
Yep, they're doing some great stuff with classic songs.
Good evening. Elvis Presley died today. He was 42. Apparently, it was a heart attack. He was found at his home in Memphis, not breathing. His road manager tried to revive him. He failed. A hospital tried to revive him. It failed. His doctor pronounced him dead at 3 o'clock this afternoon. The end at an early age of one of the two most spectacular careers in the history of American entertainment, the other being Frank Sinatra's. He sold records in the multiples of millions, made millions, bought a string of Cadillacs, one after another, gave away a string of Cadillacs to people he liked, and along the way he was married in 1967 to Priscilla Ann Bollier. The very symbol of sex for all of the millions or hundreds of thousands of teenagers was married only once, and then relatively late. The couple had one child, a daughter. The marriage did not last very long. It ended in divorce.
We, the management of Beasley Broadcasting, would like to thank Stan and Haney for their decades of dedication to this radio station.
Come on.
We'd like to.
Yeah.
But we won't.
Yeah.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, Stan.
Yeah, Haney.
Let's just take a quick look at the justice system in the United States.
All right.
I know we're waiting for the result of the trial of Paul Manafort.
Oh, it's the verdict watch.
So
non-stop coverage.
This trial is regarding accounting discrepancies from 2005.
Yeah.
Mr. Manafort is being held without bail because Mueller claimed that he may have tried to make a phone call.
Right.
Meanwhile, do you remember that story about the men in the desert with the dead child and the living children that were being raised in the Muslim faith to go and shoot people, do school shootings?
Yeah, they got out on bond, didn't they?
They sure did.
Unbelievable.
They're not even in jail.
Nope.
But Manafort is.
Yep. Go figure. Go figure.
If that right there doesn't give you an idea.
Yeah. Oh, I know. The scales aren't being balanced with that blindfolded lady.
You know, you don't want to use the word wacky to describe the criminal justice system, but it applies.
Yeah. We're like 25 minutes from your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney.
Plus the fact,
4 o'clock fluffer, your emails.
Manafort has, from all accounts, done nothing but cooperate.
And wear ostrich skin suits, which I think he looks very snappy in. I
don't understand.
He's a very good dresser.
I don't, there's no clothing that's worth that much to me.
No, I know that.
You know, if I had a jacket that was worth $15,000, you know the first thing I'd do?
What?
Sell it to somebody willing to pay $15,000 for a jacket.
I'll give you 12.
Done.
You got it. let's
seriously. Yeah,
I got the phones on lockdown. Gonna release them here in a second. I got a new button. I can lock them all down. And look at it. It's it flashes now. Yellow, caution, red, go.
Well, at least the yellow stays the same.
Yeah, it's yellow.
Because the red and the green are reversed.
This is for all the cat lovers out there, because last week was World Cat Day.
Oh, we love our cats, don't we?
We always hear about the things you should not feed your dog. There is also a list of things you should never feed a cat, because they'll get sick.
I don't get that, because I thought cats were a little smarter and that they probably just wouldn't eat something that would
hurt
them.
Some of these things I know for a fact my cat would not eat. Others, you'd think, well,
because even stuff they're supposed to like, you know, you put it down in front of them and they'll do that little deal where they lean down, they put their nose in, and then it looks like they got hit in the face. They'll pop that head back.
I have the top nine things that owners should never feed their cat or even put in front of their cat, and the percentage of cat owners who didn't even know that it was bad for them. I have the top nine things. Mention one of the things on the list, and we'll give you a prize. Did I throw away the prize sheet?
Probably.
I bet you I did. Hold on. No, I don't think I did. Wait a stand by. What's That's an old traffic report from yesterday. Why don't I put the... Will you print me up a new one? Thank you, Junior. 277-9600. What's on the list? These are nine things you should never, thank you, ever feed your cat. All right, let me release the phones. All right, 277-9600. These are things you should never feed your cat. These are like the top ones. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Chris.
Chris, what do you think's on this list of the top nine things you should not feed your cat?
Milk.
I'm going to give it to you. It's number nine on the list. Cream. You know, you always heard the story of leaving a saucer of cream for a little kitty. It's like the worst thing you can do for them. And 73% of cat owners had no idea you shouldn't leave a cat a saucer of milk. It'll get them sick. You are absolutely right. What would you like?
You got something to do?
Yeah, let me see. I can send you to a miracle game. A game of your choice, and that's what I have. I also have a health checkup from Naples Nissan. I've got Bernie City Diner. I've got KJ's Steakhouse.
How about Bernie City Diner?
All right, let me put you on hold here. Hold on. I think that's how I do it, right? Or do I put yours on hold? Hold on. Stand by. There, I did it right the second time. Yeah, cream. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Matthew.
Matthew, we've got you shouldn't give him cream milk. That was number nine on the list. For cat owners, what should you never, ever feed your cat?
I'm going to go with the catnip.
No, not on the list. Cats love catnip, and you're not going to keep them away from it. They get
all funny.
Yep, they get all high on it. And you can go to the pet store and get the catnip, the live, and so they can chew it.
Oh, that really gets them.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Brian.
Brian, what do you think's on here?
What about some alcohol?
Yeah, number two.
Yeah, Frisky likes to get frisky.
What? You can't feed your cat alcohol? I never knew that.
You know what? And it says it right here. Everybody should know that, but they asked cat owners. You know how they do it with a night? Like, give them a little beer. They're partying. 39% of cat owners had no idea you shouldn't give a cat anything with alcohol in it.
No. But, you know, that it works great on Boyds.
Yep, Boyds. They get all silly, too.
I used to feed the parrot beer.
Yeah.
Thing would go nuts.
What would you like?
You got any Legends of Wrestling?
I do. I have one pair. I'll give them to you, and you're going to go to Legends of Wrestling, okay?
Awesome.
All right, hold on. Look at that. It's working. It's working, working. And it's new because I have to learn the news, but everything is doing what it's supposed to do.
You know, I don't want to tell tales out of school.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've noticed it.
What?
But you know that that bottle of whiskey you use as a gag to feed Dave?
Yep.
You noticed?
I sure have. Somebody else other than Dave is taking nips off the bottle of whiskey. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, I can con Dave and Annie can con Dave like we're all going to do a shot, which
most people, at 3 in the afternoon, somebody says, hey, we're going to do shots at work. Most people would go, okay.
Yeah, with your supervisor right down the hallway.
Dave doesn't hesitate.
He doesn't know that. He thinks we're all doing it, and then Haney and I will bring it up, stop, and he's already downed his.
Yep.
But, because somebody brought it in as a gift for somebody, they always will bring something into the studio, and somebody left it here, and it was a full bottle. I popped the cork on the thing to make Dave drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did it on his own accord. But very little amounts.
Who's hitting that?
And I'm looking up at it right now, and somebody's been hitting on that bottle.
Who would do that?
Hold on. Who's had the last two Saturday night shifts?
Uh-oh.
Don't put it past him. He's probably in here nipping at it.
That's free booze.
Yeah, to him.
He wouldn't. Yeah, he would.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, he would. All right, we got alcohol.
Damn it.
We got cream.
You know, that's almost our fault for leaving it in here.
I know.
I mean, I didn't bring it in here. I don't even know where it came from.
No, I think somebody brought it as a gift for Zito or somebody, and they, you know, take it home. But other times, you know, people, I don't want it. I don't even want it in my house, so you leave it in here.
It's good whiskey.
Yeah, it's very tasty. And looks like Dave, past two, by the way, that show's canceled. But the past two Saturdays, you know damn well he's been nipping off of it. He's sitting right here where I'm sitting, and there's the bottle of whiskey. Who's going to know? Who's going to know? Just two fingers. Just two fingers of whiskey. And you do that twice a night for two Saturdays in a row, the bottle goes down. You stoop.
Like having a toddler.
It is.
Don't touch that toddler. Don't touch that.
You know?
No.
It's like having Drew Barrymore in the house.
A young Drew Barrymore.
Yep.
Before everything became amazing.
Yeah, she is amazing. Ahoy, who's this?
Ron.
Oh, Ron.
Yeah.
What do you think's on here? Something you should never feed your cat.
Chocolate.
Number one on the list.
Why is chocolate always so bad for animals?
I have no idea, but it's chocolate. It's number one. 38% of cat owners claim they did not know that chocolate is bad for cats. It's also bad for dogs, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll supposedly kill a dog.
Them. Yeah, cats too. Number one. What would you like?
Do you have the pewter mug?
Let me see. Do I? Yeah, I do. I have a pewter mug left for you. Hold on, okay?
All right, thank you, man.
We'll do one more, and then I'll go over the list for you. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Ted calling.
Ted, what do you think's on this list? You should never feed your cat. We've got chocolate, we have alcohol, we have cream. What else should you never feed your cat?
I think it's crazy, but I saw tuna.
Not on the list. No. Tuna's fine. Here's the list. And how many cat owners? Oh, we're dog lovers, we're cat lovers. You're a cat lover and you don't even know what you're not supposed to give your cat. Number nine was cream. 73% didn't know that feeding them a little saucer of cream was bad for them. Oh, yeah. On that feline beat, 'cause everything else is obsolete. Number eight, cheese. Dairy product. 73% of cat owners did not know that feeding a cat cheese bad for them. How many times have you been up in your kitchen and you're getting dinner ready and you got some, you're boning and parting a chicken and there's a, they'll throw a little down for Puss in Boots.
Mm-hmm.
Raw chicken. Do not feed your cat raw chicken.
Why not? They can eat raw chicken in the wild.
I would assume it's like, salmonella poisoning and all that stuff. 70% didn't know, don't feed your cat raw chicken. You're going to feed them some of the chicken? Make sure it's cooked.
Well, you grew up on a farm, and animals would come in and eat your chickens all the time.
Yep. Don't do it. Number six, raisins and grapes. Don't feed your cat raisins or grapes. 60% didn't know that you couldn't feed them to cats.
I don't think a cat would eat that.
I would tend to agree with you. Here, number five, they wouldn't eat this anyway if you had it in front of them. Garlic. Number four, onions. Number three, coffee. Number two, alcohol. Number one, chocolate. Don't feed him. You want the cat to die? You want the cat to die? Congratulations to all of our winners. We're going to take a break, and we will be back. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Question of the week later on in the 4 o'clock hour. This is the Stan and Haney program.
Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
Then why don't you go pound some sand up your ass, you boob, yeah?
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. I got an interesting text on the Absolute Law text line. And it makes me think because I'm looking at it now. We suspect that Dave has been nipping off the whiskey bottle during his shift on Saturday nights. Which that show's been canceled, by the way. But somebody texted, guys, you should check the water content in that whiskey bottle, too. And I'm looking up at it. Take a look. That used to be a dark, dark amber whiskey. And it's pretty clear, I think.
Why wouldn't he fill it all the way up? Because now it's just really empty looking.
I'll tell you why. Because he knew we opened it, and he couldn't remember how much we poured out of it. So he had to use his best guess. And he was wrong. That whiskey bottle has been watered down, too. Because somebody on Saturday nights the last 2 weeks been nipping at it. Nipping at work. And we wonder why he can't figure out how to fill out a time card to get paid for it. But that show's been canceled. We'll talk more about that on Friday. And you keep protecting them. You keep protecting them.
Stan, what would happen if I stopped protecting him?
I'll tell you what would happen. Well, two things could happen. Tragedy. But the other thing, and I think he's quite smart, he'd find somebody else to protect him. He's smart.
So you
he's
don't,
smart that way.
You don't argue that he needs protecting.
It's too far gone. Is that him? Is that him?
Guess who's on the phone?
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, buddy. What's happening, man?
Hey, yeah. Bowie.
Hey, Bowie. What's up, man?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? I just caught, man. I was on my way home, and I caught this whiskey nipping thing.
Yeah, you've been You've been drinking Saturday nights, haven't you?
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
man?
No. Oh, no. We know now, and you tried watering it down. And the whole place knows about it.
Okay, Mr. Professor, how do you know it's watered down?
I'm looking
Have
at
you
it
been
right now.
On it?
No, we're looking at it. First of all, it's not at the level we left it at.
Dude, I have
Second of all,
stuff, it,
it's
man.
Not as dark as it was.
Look,
Oh my God, man.
He denies it, Stan. You're not getting any further. Yep. Is it true you're nursing a baby coon?
Two pros. I rescued a baby raccoon out of a ceiling today.
You rescued a baby raccoon that cannot live on its own. It's going to die.
Well,
it needs milk.
What happened? How did you find the raccoon?
No. What's that now?
How did you find the raccoon? What happened?
Well, apparently, Mama Raccoon, some of the ladies in the office kept hearing some, like, rumbling above their heads, you know, and they heard all these sounds like meow, 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 meow.
Sounds like a cat.
Yeah, it sounds like a cat.
Yeah, well, it was giving birth, bro.
and you took the coons from the mother.
And then you started
taking pictures of it, calling it Stan, and you're gonna.
Is that the coon's name, Stan?
Well, of course. I thought that was a funny name as I went.
Yeah, it's a laugh a minute riot. Your show's been canceled, by the way.
Yeah, I already know.
Let's get you updated on traffic.
I don't know why God chose me to protect him.
I don't know why either. He needs to be thrown to the wolves. He's 42. It's too late. He'll get killed. he should have been thrown to the wolves at 22.
You're right. He can only live in captivity now.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, let's see where we're starting. North Fort Myers, this should be in the clearing stages. Crash, Hart Road and Bayshore Road, also in the clearing stages. An earlier crash, the 1300 block of Marsh Avenue in Fort Myers, again, in the clearing stages. And this one in Lehigh Acres, hit and run. 1000 block of Lee Boulevard, right by Selmar Travel. And you are up to date. Another traffic update for you in about 30. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about to tell you. He's got today's headlines for you.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
All right.
You know, yesterday we told you about a crime where a heavy set man stole $250 worth of Axe body spray.
Yep.
See, you wouldn't expect that to happen. You know, maybe somebody pockets one here and there, but in bulk.
Yeah, that's for the high school kids.
I think people will steal virtually anything.
If they have the opportunity.
Someone stole $98,000 worth of ramen noodles.
Man, you could feed a college campus and make money off of that.
A police officer in Arizona got fired recently due to disturbing body cam footage.
What?
Well, he used the body cam to make a sex tape.
Oh, and please.
Used his computer to store 36 gigs of porn. A man in India suffered a severe penile fracture when his child jumped up on the bed to wake him up.
There's no bone there. That's just cartilage.
You don't think it can be damaged?
It can. We know it can be damaged.
A fast food joint in Maine is fighting for its very life. They say they've been dealing with disturbing and hostile customers because they changed from crinkle cut to straight fries.
I can see that.
And finally, if you can't trust a librarian, who can you trust?
Got that right.
A librarian is going to jail for embezzling $89,000 to spend on a mobile game. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Junior, we do have some people that are outside. I think our friend Shark Girl and Nigel are outside. They want to come by and say hi.
Oh, absolutely.
They're allowed in.
Yeah, they're on the list.
Yep. Let's
with that red velvet rope.
Yes,
right this way.
They can be taken through. Check out back. If they're there, bring them in. If not, close it and then come back. Only if it's them. Time now for a little laughter. It's 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark,
Stan,
everyone. No, honey, I'm home.
That's fine.
I'm gonna die.
Yeah, it seems like they'll let anybody run for office today. You
That's
know,
so true, Haney. So true.
Saw a man dressed up as a woman.
I did too. Yeah.
And now a 14-year-old boy is running for governor in Vermont. We can only speculate how that might turn out with today's list of the
top
things you'd see with a 14-year-old governor.
Top things you'd see with a 14-year-old governor.
Optimus Prime's birthday is an official state holiday. Legal driving and drinking age lowered to 14. New official state motto?
Meh.
All police resources dedicated to subduing that mean bully who lives down the block. The mainstream media finds itself under attack with constant spitball attacks. Oh, look at what Nigel's got
wow.
for you.
Wow.
Tax increase immediately on alcohol, tobacco, adult magazines, rated R movies, pretty much everything except Skittles.
Ah, there she is. There she is, Miss Menthol. Oh, no, I wasn't talking about Shark Girl. See, oh. You stay back over there.
School year is now 2 weeks. Skateboarding now legal in the bank parking lot with the big hill. You're introduced to Lieutenant Governor Iron Man.
Yeah.
When signing legislation, he always writes first! Exclamation point.
Oh my God.
State task force to eliminate cooties.
That's 14-year-old governor.
When anything happens in the state, you always see the following in the newspaper. Reach for comment, the governor was too busy playing Fortnite to respond.
I love it.
You don't know what you love.
And finally, the very top thing you'd see with a 14-year-old governor.
Yes.
Opponents challenged to swallow a Tide Pod. And that, my friends, is E4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
Sure
has. That's it, baby.
Let's bring Nigel and Shark Girl in. Come on over here, guys. Come on over here.
Are you doing email?
If we got time, I don't know. I don't have to. We can talk to them and see what's going on. Two of our dearest friends and longtime listeners of the show are our buddy Nigel and Shark Girl are here. What's going on, guys? Come get right up to that microphone. Right, get right up. Come on. I see you pictures of you singing. You know how to get up to a microphone. What's going on?
Not too much. We were in the area. I thought I'd drop by. I just got back from San Francisco.
Oh, jeez. I mean, how do you
made it back okay.
Geez, how can you handle that?
I saw a couple syringes on the street. I saw a porta potty that you pay a quarter to go in. And when you come out, it goes into the ground and washes itself and comes back out.
That's amazing.
It was worth a quarter. It really was.
But it's like a hellhole.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Shark Girl, how are you? How have you been?
I brought you a present as well, but we forgot it in the car. It was a copy of, what was her name?
The conservative Fox News, Ann Coulter.
Coulter. Yeah, if Democrats had a brain, they'd be Republican.
So. Oh, God, I'd love to. Now, what is this that is here? This is looks
yeah, you've been teasing
cool.
him with it there, Nigel.
So I did a record store run in San Francisco. They got these places out there, Rasputin's, Amoeba.
Right.
These huge places. I found this.
That is awesome.
It's your favorite song, right? Spanish Flea.
Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, 45, Spanish Flea, with the background, which is incidentally the cover of their program when they toured in the late 60s. That is the program that you would get with that picture on it. That is awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much.
I figured that would look good in Broadcast House or
absolutely
at Stan's house.
Yeah, that would look great.
That is very
house.
Thoughtful.
That is so thoughtful of you. There it is right there.
And you know how far that goes back with him, right?
66, something like that?
No, but I mean...
Oh, with Stan.
Stan, okay. when you were on the children's television show...
Yeah,
Ranger Andy
show.
Yeah, he was on Ranger Andy and told Ranger Andy his name was Herb Alpert.
That was my fifth. It was my fifth birthday. My mom put me in a bright red blazer, and they would go, you know, you had the Boy Scouts there and the kids celebrating the birthday, and the Brownies were there, and they'd all go around with the big boom microphone. You had to stand up, tell everybody what grade you're in or what pack you were in for the Cub Scouts and your name. And I told them it's my fifth birthday. My name is Herb Alpert.
And they reprimanded your mother for that, didn't they?
They did. Well, they had to during when they would show a cartoon, they went over and talked to my mom. And said, can you walk over and tell your son to keep it down? True story. Very true.
Incidentally, you were talking about children's programming. I did some work at a museum when I was out there, and Mr. McFeely was the guest of honor
okay.
for Mr. Rogers.
All right, I'm going to tell you
so
something
I didn't
about
know if you had
this
a story
cat.
There.
I'm going to tell you something about this cat.
What, Mr. McFeely?
He probably a nice enough guy. A lot of kids grew up with him. He's an egomaniac. Now, here's what I mean by that. Now, you remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and then Speedy Delivery, that. Fred Rogers, we tried for years to get him on the show. I mean, he was still doing his PBS program. This was back, 25, 30 years ago. We wanted to get him on the show. You would call his offices because he had offices. And you'd expect to get a receptionist or somebody there or a publicist or someone that would
maybe
go.
Maybe Lady Elaine.
Yep. He would answer the phone.
Mr. McFeely.
And we would say, hey, this is the Stan and Haney show. We'd like to see if we could book a little time with Fred Rogers. And no, he's unavailable, but Mr. McFeely's available. And you couldn't get around him. He would make himself available. At one time we had him on with the express intent of getting Fred Rogers on if we had him on because he was coming out.
You figure
out
if you placate him, then you can get to the boss.
And even after Fred Rogers died, he still has all control of a lot of the stuff that with the show, and you can go and call Fred Rogers' place wherever they. And he answers the phone, and he'll tell you he's more than happy to go on and talk about what Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was all about. Egomaniac.
Well, it's like I have the I Have a Dream speech. They only play that on MLK Day, right? You have no rights to be able to play that outside of that.
I don't know anything about that. And why are you bringing,
I've never heard that.
And why are you bringing
What's
that
have to do with Mr. McFeely?
What does that have to do with Mr. McFeely? What does
apologize.
That have to do with anything?
Are you saying MLK was an egomaniac?
Okay, I'm just going to be quiet now.
What are you driving at?
I don't see the connection there.
I don't either.
Now, if you were to bring up Mr. Green Jeans, I would understand that.
Yes, that was, Captain Kangaroo's sidekick. What do you know about Mr. Green Jeans?
You dated him in the
He is Green Jeans. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Good guy. Yeah,
Nigel, how long do you think Stan and I would last in San Francisco before our head explodes?
Yeah, before we'd go absolutely nuts.
Once you see the first shanty town underneath the bridge, I think you'd be done.
Oh.
Once you step in the first poop pile.
Hooverville, right?
Unbelievable.
So they've got all the money and all the control over social media out there, and it's nothing but crap.
About San Francisco?
Yeah.
Get right up on that mic.
Well, basically, I go there because there's a museum I work for that's about an hour out of San Francisco. But I can go to Berkeley. I can go to San Francisco on the BART, the subway train. So I took my dad out there this year. And the best part was, so we're riding around the BART and everything. And this is his first time out west ever. And we get home and I pull up the news and someone murdered on the BART last week. Someone assaulted on the BART last week. And I'm like, it's the same days I was traveling around out there. So,
I've seen some video. They get vicious out there.
Oh, yeah. There are some characters on the. I mean, I know New York City has their issues, too. But I think San Francisco is the new New York as far as the crime and the poverty and all that. So I just do my record store runs, you know. I keep my head down. I don't look at anybody.
I went to a few of them up in New Jersey, the record stores. They it's amazing. You could spend hours in those places. I got one question to ask Nigel, and then we got to take a break. You're an Al Jolson expert. You are.
We love Jolson.
And the work that he was probably one of the most talented people of the 20th century.
Oh, he was a superstar.
How would he fly today?
Yeah, I don't think he would.
Exactly. He would not. Everything would be completely inappropriate.
Pretty much. Well, if he was around today, the blackface thing wouldn't even be an issue. But back in the earliest 20th century, that was something that everybody did.
Mm-hmm. did.
You know, Mickey Mouse had a movie where he was in blackface. Bugs Bunny, Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney. There was even a black performer by the name of Burt Williams who put on blackface makeup. Yep. So it was just a thing of its day, you know. But Jolson gets plastered as the poster child.
Yep.
Like he invented it.
Yep.
You know.
But he didn't.
So that's just how the world is now, you know.
He'd have to come up with a whole new act. Although one of the most talented people who ever walked the face of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you that don't know it, and you can verify or change your first talking movie.
The Jazz Singer, yep, 1927. And he's actually the reason why The Jazz Singer was such a success, because they needed a big star like Jolson to push the talking film, because it had been tried for years and years and failed. It was like a novelty.
Yep.
But when Jolson got up there in The Jazz Singer, it was like, okay, this is real. Talking pictures are the way of the future. Everyone else's career, except like Chaplin and Mary Pickford, a couple of silent people survived, but everybody else's career was gone in like overnight almost.
Well, except for Douglas Fairbanks Sr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jr. Guys, thank you so much. We're going to take
it
a break.
It is always a pleasure.
Oh,
to see
always
you
a pleasure.
Guys.
We said that we got word that you were here, and always move the velvet ropes for you guys.
Want to make sure you didn't know it was a prank.
Initially. By the way, Shark Girl, do you have any statement to make on the red tide business?
Yeah, any statement? Can you make it 30 seconds or less?
Well, I just left the state to get away from it, so. You know,
voted with your feet.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. There's too much to say, honestly.
Can I eat a piece of fish that's caught in the Gulf of Mexico
No. I wouldn't even go on the beach.
The state actually says if it's a finned fish, they filter it enough.
Do you believe that?
No, of course not. Are you kidding me? They said that there was excellent swimming conditions on Sanibel Island in the news last week.
I said it.
Yeah.
But it's not?
No. It's, okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
We're standing. Well, hopefully it'll take out a few sharks.
Yes! I think a few of them have rolled up.
Yeah.
Standing.
It always seems to get the dolphins and the manatees. Why not the damn sharks?
Bring up some big sharks. 96K Rock.
Next on Locked Up Abroad. Two unwitting men sign a shady employment contract with a mysterious man known as Beasley. Two decades later, they're still living with the consequences. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Less than 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We're going to do traffic for you in just a second, but it's Thursday, and that means our question of the week. So I will pose to you our question of the week. Not a yes or no answer. This is something that you have the answer to, and it's the right answer. We were testing it outside with Shark Girl and Nigel. I'll post to you the question of the week. We'll do traffic, let you call in, and then we'll take your answers to our question of the week. News of Aretha Franklin passing away today, legend, on the same day that Elvis passed away. And celebrity deaths, whether it's athletes, music, Hollywood celebrities, TV celebrities, affect people in different ways, especially if you grew up with them or you were a big fan. And somebody of celebrity can pass away and you're not really that affected by it. It's sad. Other times, somebody that has been a big part of your life passes away and you're highly affected by it. I know, I just remember Haney and I here in the studio when Michael Jackson passed away, and just people were just going nuts. Haney and I weren't huge fans of Michael Jackson. We reported on it. We suspected things. That was it. Our question of the week, and think about this, whether it is a movie star, a musician, an athlete, whose celebrity death affected you the most, where it hit you and it hit you hard? 277-9600. Whose celebrity death affected you the most? 277-9600. Let's do traffic, then we'll take your phone calls.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, couple of things. Got a road watcher. Says that there is a disabled POS College Parkway at South Point Center. It's right there in the center lane before the bridge. Then we got this one, Daniels Parkway and Metro Parkway in Fort Myers. And you are up to date. Celebrity deaths. It could be an athlete, a movie star, a musician. A lot of times they go and it's a shock to you and they influenced you in your life and they've passed away. Whose celebrity death affected you the most? And when I was kicking this question around, two popped into my brain. First one, and I've talked about it before, was when John Lennon died. Totally unexpected, obviously murdered, and how I was watching Monday Night Football, and Howard Cosell went and told you John Lennon died. Destroyed me. I was like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. The second one, more personal, and Haney will know exactly what I'm talking about. When I was a kid growing up, I was a fan of the New York Yankees. And they were perennial losers when I was growing up in the late 60s and early 70s. Rest assured, they were a horrible team every year. The big star they had on their team at that time was number one, Bobby Mercer. Loved Bobby Mercer. Wrote as a kid to the Yankees, "Will you autograph a baseball for me?"
And I will never forget seeing you spend an afternoon with Bobby Mercer.
Well, here's my childhood idol. I had a poster of him in my bedroom. I tried to get him to sign a baseball. I would go to Yankee Stadium and watch him play.
Uh-huh.
We're doing the Dodge Celebrity here in Fort Myers, and one of the golfers was Bobby Mercer. And they said, "Do you want to interview?" I saw him on the list. I said, "Bobby Mercer's playing golf here. I want to talk to him." And I still remember Haney and I under the tent, and Bobby Mercer comes walking around, and who wants to talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I suddenly am that 9-year-old going, "Oh, my God."
And I lost you the rest of the afternoon.
The rest of the afternoon. It was, you filmed it? And so a couple of years go by. Got a nice picture with him. It was great. A couple of years go by. We try to get him back on, and word had just come out that he had brain cancer, and he had just put out an autobiography, and we had him back on the air shortly before he passed away, and he was gracious and great, sent me the baseball, sent me a nice note, and asked us on the air, we still have the tape, he said, "I'm pushing this book right now." He says, "Will you guys help me? Have me back on so we can do it?" And he never made it to come back on. He passed away, and that bothered me so much. What a great guy and a part of my childhood. Haney, whose celebrity death affected you the most?
Well, you know the great thing about that, though, is that Stan had an opportunity to do something for Bobby Mercer.
Yeah, oh, it was just amazing.
Well, we were just talking about this, I think, yesterday. The first one that really got to me that I remember vividly was when Belushi died, and Another one that I remember vividly that affected me tremendously because I just idolized the guy. I don't know what state I was in. We were driving back from Tennessee back to Florida. And I was on this two-lane country road. And on the radio, it comes out that Stevie Ray Vaughan has died.
I knew you were going to say that.
And one other one. I was working at the drugstore. And a girl comes in, a really pretty girl, too, so I was happy to see her. And there's nobody else in the store. And she walks up to me and doesn't say anything. She goes, Randy Rhoads just died. And he died in Orlando.
Yep.
With that plane.
277-9600. Whose celebrity death affected you the most?
Because the ones where, and you know this, it's different when you feel like somebody's had a full life versus a tragedy.
Cut short. Movie star, musician, athlete, doesn't matter. It's you. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, guys. This is Justin.
Justin, whose celebrity death affected you the most?
You know, growing up in restaurants my whole life and reading his books and getting to meet the guy and the most real of celebrity chefs, Anthony Bourdain.
You can thank Hillary Clinton for that.
Yep. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stephen Hayden, this is Mark.
Mark, whose celebrity death affected you the most when you heard the news? It was like, oh my God.
I have two, and I'll make it very brief. Okay. Number one, I was a teenager, and I heard about the Leonard Skinner flight going down. And it was too early for any details, but I was shocked and saddened by that. As a young adult, I woke up on a summer morning and heard about Princess Diana being critically injured, only to find out that she had passed away later that day. And I was most shocked by that, I believe.
All right.
You know what I wasn't shocked?
Haney and I right here when that happened.
You know what I wasn't shocked by? And what? You know because you were there. Kurt Cobain.
Nope. We suspected that well in advance.
Because he'd been trying to die for
a while. I remember when we were doing broadcast remotes and we'd get word, oh, Cobain tried to off
club.
Himself again.
Yep.
Yeah. 277-9600. Celebrity death that affected you. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Matt. How you doing?
Good, Matt. What celebrity or whose celebrity death affected you the most?
Two of them, and I'll make it quick also. I have to concur about SRV. That was a very sad day. I was turning a wrench up in New York when I heard the news over the radio.
Yeah, and especially if you understood what was going on at that time, he had finally gotten his life together. He'd put the booze aside. He was with the right woman. Everything was going great in his life, and boom, done.
Yeah. And I'll never forget that day. Yeah, everything was going right? Sure.
And the other one would be
Thurman Munson. And also, Bobby Mercer did the eulogy for Thurman Munson.
Yes, he did. And I remember that so well. The Munson death, that was because he was a private pilot and he was doing touch and goes in Canton, Ohio, and he crashed his plane. He and Bobby Mercer were best friends. Bobby Mercer, by that point in his career, was a pinch hitter. Billy Martin, after Bobby Mercer gave his eulogy, started Bobby Mercer, and he hit a home run, drove in two others, and won the game for the Yankees.
Yeah, he drove in all the RBIs.
Drove
actually,
them all
Billy, in. Billy told him to sit it out, and he goes, no way. I'm playing today.
Yep. Again, that was against the Orioles. Oh, man, that was an unbelievable. Everybody crying. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is John.
John, whose celebrity death affected you the most?
Well, the most would be Mark the Bird Fidrich.
Yeah, that was such a freak accident. He had been out of baseball for a long time. Wasn't he working on a car?
Yeah, I had the occasion during my baseball days to do two appearances with Mark the Bird Fidrich, one in Kalamazoo, one in London, Ontario. And Mark owned a trucking company, and he only did appearances on Sunday because that's the only day he didn't work. I mean, I would call, I would talk to his daughter Jessica, I'd talk to his wife, but had Mark on two appearances, and the dude was just awesome.
And I mean, he was such a huge star.
One awesome year as a rookie, and then threw his arm out.
Oh, yeah, no. I think he's still the only athlete to appear on the cover of Rolling Stone.
I think so. John, thanks for the call, and you do great work at the Harry Chapin Food Bank. 277-9600. Time for maybe a couple of more calls.
Yeah, Fidrich, he was like on the cover of Sports Illustrated every week.
He was with Big Bird, and he'd talk to the ball.
Yep.
And he was a phenom in Detroit his rookie year. Made the All-Star team. I want to say he started the All-Star game his rookie year and threw his arm out. And then left baseball, had his own business, and like car fell on him. One of the great sports stories of all time. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, fellas, this is Matt.
Matt, whose celebrity death affected you the most?
Earnhardt!
Well, you know what?
What did he say?
Earnhardt.
Oh.
We were here that day, too. People seem to forget that the great Eddie Matthews also died on that day. And, want to talk about forgotten.
I'll just never. Some of the things that we stumble into by virtue of what we do, and we had just had that interview with Richard Petty where he says if he keeps that up, somebody's going
to
die.
Yep. Because we asked him, how do you know when it's time to get out? And he said, well, I knew when I had to get out, and I went probably 10 years too long. He said, Earnhardt's at that stage right now. And then it was like weeks later. Mm-hmm. And then he was bragging about his grandson, and he died, too. Oh. Oh. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Ron.
Ron? Hello? Oh, hey, Ron, how are you?
Raccoon Ron.
Yeah, I know.
You got a new addition to the family,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, sure do.
We have a mascot now beside Dave.
Whose celebrity death affected you the most?
John Lennon. That really
took
me for
you. Now, I said that I heard, I was watching Monday Night Football in my college dorm. Do you remember where you were when you heard Lennon died?
Yeah, I was just getting home from teaching a class, and I just walked in the door, and I heard it. My wife had it on the TV, and I couldn't believe it. And it was unbelievable. That and Tom Petty would be my next one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be sure to tell your wife I said hi.
Okay, will do.
All right. He's got a nice wife. Gets a little smart alecky with me once in a while, but she's a nice lady.
Like how?
Well, she gets in my face and starts yelling at me.
Just for you being you?
Yeah, and I tell her to back down, woman. And then that just makes her angrier and comes in my face more.
Good thing it's not your wife.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Joey.
Joey, whose celebrity death affected you the most?
He's more of a legend country singer, but George Jones.
Oh, absolutely. The Possum.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, my favorite man. George That's Jones. All I listen to.
I don't need your rocking chair.
Step right in.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Oh, yeah. One more.
The Lonely Christmas Call.
Oh, that one. That is just. Ahoy, who's this?
Yes, ahoy, gentlemen. This is Gus.
Gus, whose celebrity death affected you the most when you heard the news?
Well, you guys, you know, I'm really invested in the relationship that you guys have done with us. So when Joe Scott passed on, I was jonesing pretty bad. Because we kind of feel like we know you guys.
Well, and that was obviously a very difficult time for us. The thing that people don't realize is Haney and I have suffered through quite silently a lot of death. And we understand that.
We understand it too well. More than we ever wanted to understand it.
If you would like to answer our question of the week, feel free to do so. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. We just lost Aretha Franklin today. On the passing, same day Elvis passed away. And we lose so many that affect our lives. Whose celebrity death affected you the most? Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. We're going to take a break. Mark Haney and the news is next.
Every once in a while, We get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is, well, unairable. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney here. Thursday afternoon. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciate it. I know rain showing up in a few areas here at Broadcast House. It'll rain like mad for about 30 seconds, then dry out, and then you think, oh, okay, it's over with, and then it rains again. So be careful out there. We're going to update you on traffic here in just a second. Again, Mark Haney in the news coming up in just a second. Also, 6 o'clock, Roger Marley will be coming into the studio. You know, if we accused Roger Marley of drinking that whiskey, it wouldn't even cross my mind.
You know what would happen?
He'd hit me over the head with that bottle.
No. He would chug the entire bottle of you, set it down, and go, "What whiskey?"
Yeah. Might even break the bottle.
Yep.
When he's done.
And then he'd just stand there and mean mug you.
Yeah, and then a quick little regurgitate belch. And then just go back to doing what he was doing.
Yeah, and then as he's walking out the door under his breath, he'd call you a pussy.
Yeah, but we know it's not him, it's Dave. Let's get you up to his show's canceled, by the way.
It's a shame.
Let's get you
up. He's really making my job hard.
He's making everybody's job hard. Unbelievable. Then I can't.
I don't know.
I got to deal with him tomorrow. I can't deal with him now.
I don't know how I ended up as Dave's protector.
You are. He came into your inner circle where if it was initially me, I would have, as my circle spinning, would have spun him right back out. But you...
Almost like a rogue planet.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and again...
If he was part of your circle, he'd be in the Kuiper Belt by now.
Yeah, gone. But again, like you said, he's too old now to go out in the wild on his own.
No. His own kind won't accept him anymore.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Let's see. We'll start in North Fort Myers.
I've seen it. He goes to hang out with the bros.
Yeah.
They sniff him, and they just know something's off about him.
North Fort Myers crash, the 200 block of Pondella Road. Also, we're dealing with a crash, Fort Myers, Daniels Parkway and Metro Parkway, and you are up to date. Mark Haney and the news.
I think everybody has a Dave in their life.
Oh, I know. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
You call them God's special people.
They are. They're protected. Make sure. Let me tell you something. The stuff that he's done and the way he lives, you and I wouldn't have made it.
No.
There's no safety net for you or I.
No, none.
Mark Haney, the news starts right now.
This is Eyewitness News with Ernie Anastas, Roseanne Scamardella, Warner Wolf, Spencer Christian.
I'm Gary King.
Hey.
And the Eyewitness News team.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, August 16th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. I would be shocked if you did know this, but do you know what the world's first skyscraper was?
Don't have a clue. It was probably the world's first skyscraper?
Yes.
I'll bet you it was built in New York City.
The world's first skyscraper was the Home Insurance Building in Chicago.
Oh.
It was completed in 1885 and was 10 stories. At the time, unthinkable.
Yeah, because they didn't know about the way to build them like erector set with the steel. It was all that concrete, and they couldn't go that high.
So completed in 1885 and was demolished in 1931.
There's the picture right there. That's nice looking building.
For 1885, that's a miracle.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
I mean, there were still cowboys and Indians going at it in 1885. This is amazing. From 1970 until 1996, Elton John had at least one top 40 single every year.
I believe it.
That's a hell of a run.
Yep. He would have singles and albums that would debut at number one.
But from 1970 to 1996, every year he had a hit.
It's amazing. It's talent.
And topping.
Yup. Yup.
This next story, logistically, what's happening here? Police in Fayette County, Georgia, are investigating after thieves stole $98,000 of ramen noodles a few weeks back. Now, let's try and figure this out. Let's say they cost 30 cents each. Might be a little high, but that would be like 327,000 packages of ramen noodles. The ramen packages were in a 53-foot trailer parked at a Chevron station when the thieves took them. You know, one 4-carat diamond would have the same value.
Yeah.
But police are baffled. They can't find them. And they have no idea what happened to the giant supply of missing noodles. I think, Your Honor, you check the colleges.
Colleges. You see black market for that stuff. And because, you know what? The price is right. You can feed a college kid in the dorm for weeks. I have to, because I get alerts on my phone, so I stay informed. You were talking earlier about our justice system and how Paul Manafort, because of his doings, is no bond, arrested.
He's in jail.
He's in jail. Yet those people out in, what was it, New Mexico, at the compound.
Yeah, the Muslim compound where a 3-year-old child was buried, died.
Yep.
And they had, like, a couple of guys, couple of women, and, like, I think 11 kids that they were training to do school shootings.
Yep.
Muslim compound.
They get released.
Story. Yeah, they're walking the street.
Story just came in over my phone. Authorities have identified the body of that young 3-year-old boy at the New Mexico compound, who was allegedly abducted by his father in November.
Mm-hmm.
And according to, it was in fact identified as who they thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a dead body, a boy, 3, found dead there, positively identified now, and these guys get to walk.
The guy in charge of this is the son of a New York imam who was a character witness for the World Trade Center bomber.
It makes no sense to me, other than I hear the news stories that the judge who granted the bond is notorious for giving light bonds to people incarcerated. Well, he lets them go. I mean, how do the people like that stay on the bench?
I don't know. Again, Manafort's in jail. Those people are walking the streets. Man. You don't want to ponder that too long.
No, you don't.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Do you think Mario Cuomo is rolling in his grave?
I could not believe that a politician would say that. It's really creepy.
It's scary. A governor of a state, let alone New York, and his father, who was a Democrat, but you know what, was a principled man.
Or at least was smart enough to come across that way.
Correct. And then his son, America was never great.
You would never have thought that Mario Cuomo would produce a couple of nitwits.
Yep. Nitwits! Yes, nitwits. Anybody, and I don't care what party affiliate, here's that. What are you? You're a nitwit.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, the governor of New York out campaigning actually thought it would get him votes to go, America was never great.
And when you play the clip, you can hear the gasps in the crowd that he was talking to. How stupid do you have to be?
Well, that's what sells.
Oh, yeah, it's all over the news.
Open the borders. Yep. Shut down the police. What was it they were chanting at the cops in Charlottesville? No borders, no wall, no USA at all.
Yeah, you told me that yesterday. That's a toe tapper. Got a ring to it. Shut up.
But we're not supposed to criticize we're not. Them.
Nope.
God, I hate even thinking about
that. I know.
The good news in this story is that, according to doctors, the man should still be able to produce children.
All right. And there's your good news for today.
A 36-year-old gent recently showed up at a hospital 2 days after suffering what doctors call a penile fracture. Ouch. He says it happened when his kid ran into his bedroom to wake him up and jumped on him. He had taken a Viagra the night before.
Yeah.
Which should have worn off, but it didn't.
Yeah, lying right there with a toughie.
He says he even tried to relieve the problem vigorously. But it didn't help.
No.
So he somehow managed to go to sleep, hoping it would wear off overnight. It didn't. Then his kid ran in and jumped on him the next morning. Despite suffering what he describes as sudden severe pain, I think that's an understatement, he waited 2 days to see a doctor about it, and they really cheered him up when they diagnosed him with an eggplant deformity.
Oh, what?
That is an actual technical term for what he was dealing with. He required surgery to repair his fractured junk, but he's fully recovered, and they say he should be able to produce more children should he want them, given what's just occurred.
That's good news.
That is the only good news.
Yeah.
A police officer outside Phoenix recently got fired after he was caught using his body camera to produce a sex tape. pretty bold, you know. He could have just used his phone like a normal person. The four-minute video was recorded last year. Shows the officer in his uniform, the top part of his uniform, with no pant. And there just happens to be a naked lady straddling him.
Yeah.
On further investigation, they discovered 36 gigabytes of photos on his work computer's hard drive, including various pornography and a whole lot of selfies of his junk. When they confronted him about it, he basically said, "Yeah, so what?" They said, "You're fired." He countered, "How about a 1 week suspension?"
Yeah, let's bargain now.
They said, "No, you don't get it." And he's, "What's the big deal?" But they did fire him, and they also looked into pressing charges. And they tried really hard, but apparently he didn't do anything illegal. He's just an idiot. He was also fired, incidentally, by another police department in Arizona back in 2013 when he made out with a woman in his squad car while on duty. Then he tried to delete explicit photos and texts from his phone to cover that up.
Right. That's sometimes tough to do. You think they're gone.
Don't we know it? Jim and Leslie Parsons own a charming little fast food joint called Bolly's Famous Franks in Waterville, Maine. And they know what they're doing. They've been around since 1962.
Good for them.
The restaurant has the Jim and Leslie.
Yeah.
They're the new owners.
Oh.
They bought it about a year ago.
And drove it into the ground.
Yeah. You know, you got a restaurant that's been around since 62, and everybody's happy with it, and then the new owners come in.
Yeah, drive it right into the ground.
And they made a big change. They switched from crinkle-cut French fries, which had been served since 1962, to a straight-cut fry.
Don't do that.
Their new fries are about the same size as ones you'd get at McDonald's.
Oh, like shoestring.
They said they did it because the machine that does the crinkle cutting keeps breaking down and the blades are prohibitively expensive.
That's a bold-faced lie.
They said they had no choice. They had to make the change. But the customers are furious.
Oh, yeah.
Or as Jim and Leslie call it, disturbing and hostile.
They better snap out of that.
It's not been pleasant at Bolly's Famous Franks. They've had customers yelling at them. Customers swearing at them, and Jim says when one man found out there were no crinkle-cut fries, he wanted to physically fight him.
Sure.
The Parsons are begging the community for peace. However, they are standing firm, and it'll be a cold day in hell before you'll see another crinkle-cut French fry at Bolly's Famous Franks, in business since 1962, due to fail in a couple of months.
That's right. And then especially the wife now wants to introduce something called a not dog.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, You know, I always thought of librarians as trustworthy.
Absolutely. Hair up in a bun, glasses on, proper skirt right around the knee.
I never had one turn on me.
No.
I was always surprised because, you know, when you're first starting out school, I thought the librarians were like teachers. And the first time I went to a librarian, I'm trying to figure out how to do this homework assignment. They actually helped me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I want to be clear, very high personal opinion of librarians, but there's always one bad apple. Could your child be at risk? Thirty-eight-year-old Adam Winger was the library director in North Logan, Utah. He was busted earlier this year.
Male librarian?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Something wrong there.
Doesn't fit.
First red flag.
Yep.
He was busted for embezzling $89,000 worth of library funds.
What?
Yep.
Of library funds.
Yep.
Probably an institution, the library system, that needs the most money.
Yep. Well, you figure he knows it's a risk, but he had to have that 89 grand.
He did?
Yeah. Well, you'd imagine, wouldn't you?
He wants it. Do you have to have it, or do you just
figure
want it?
If you're going to risk your career, you're going to risk jail time? There must be a reason that you need that 89 grand.
Did he have a reason?
He used it to buy gift cards so he could buy stuff for a game on his phone.
You are kidding me!
Called Game of War Fire Age. Now, you're probably not familiar with it.
No.
But you may have seen a few years back, it's the one Kate Upton did the Super Bowl ad for.
Yes. Oh, yeah. How can you forget that?
He was just sentenced to 30 days in jail for theft.
30 days.
He's also expected to pay back $78,000 to the library and do some sort of community service.
I'd throw away the key. That's what I would do. Throw away the key. He shouldn't even be a librarian to begin with.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You rob $89,000. That's more than 30 days.
From the library system. 30 days? Come on.
Yep.
Look at him. He looks like a bird. A bird.
Yep. And that's the news for today, Thursday, August 16th.
Double M, XV, triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock.
Southwest Florida, we're always here to help. But unfortunately, there's actually very little we can do. Sorry, just try not to focus on the pain.
Stan and Haney
on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Roger Marley coming up at 6 o'clock to take you through your evening. We got just enough time here to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, it's busy. And a road watcher checking in with us. The lights are out at Daniels Parkway and 6 Mile Cypress.
Lovely.
Use it as a four-way stop. You know the rules.
Unless Stan's rolling through there, and then you just make way.
Clear out. Coming through.
You'll know him. He's the one running his hazard lights.
Fort Myers crash, Daniels Parkway and Powers Court.
And he'll give you a friendly toot as he's coming through.
How to do. Also, crash, Daniels Parkway and South Cleveland Avenue. We also have a crash, Summerlin Road and Barkley Circle. in Fort Myers. And one more for you. It's in Lehigh Acres. It's a crash. Leland Heights Boulevard West and Lee Boulevard. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Alcoholism, drug abuse, gambling addictions, those can destroy a family. But those take a while. You want to destroy a family quickly? Break out a game of scattergories. They should call that argument in a box. It's things at a beach. You can't say sandwiches. Why not? I just said sandwiches. You can't say sandwiches. It's things at a beach. Well, I eat sandwiches when I go to the beach. Doesn't matter. It ain't a beach thing, so I'm not going to allow it. Who's allowing you to be the guy who's allowing things? That's be a common sense beach thing, you moron. Something that's already at the beach when you get there. Something like an umbrella. An umbrella's already at the beach when you get there. Family's destroyed. That's a good holiday game. Break that out during the holidays and rip your family to shreds.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. This is the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. We leave you this afternoon with this. Somebody else other than Dave is taking nips off the bottle of whiskey. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, I can con Dave and Haney can con Dave. Like, we're all going to do a shot, which
at 3 in the afternoon, somebody says, hey, we're going to do shots at work. Most people would go, okay.
Yeah, with your supervisor right down the hallway.
Dave doesn't hesitate.
He doesn't know that. He thinks we're all doing it. And then Haney and I will bring it up, stop, and he's already downed his.
Yep.
But, because somebody brought it in as a gift for somebody. They always will bring something into the studio. And somebody left it here. And it was a full bottle. I popped the cork on the thing to make Dave drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did it on his own accord. But very little amounts.
Who's hitting that?
And I'm looking up at it right now, and somebody's been hitting on that bottle.
Who would do that?
Hold on. Who's had the last two Saturday night shifts?
Uh-oh.
Don't put it past him. He's probably in here nipping at it.
That's free booze.
Yeah, to him.
He wouldn't. Yeah, he would.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, he would. All right, we got alcohol.
Damn it.
We got cream.
You know, that's almost our fault for leaving it in here.
I know.
I mean, I didn't bring it in here. I don't even know where it came from.
No, I think somebody brought it as a gift for Zito or somebody, and they, you know, take it home. But other times, you know, people, I don't want it. I don't even want it in my house, so you leave it in here.
It's good whiskey.
Yeah, it's very tasty. Looks like Dave was past two. By the way, that show's. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. I got an interesting text on the Absolute Law text line. And it makes me think because I'm looking at it now. We suspect that Dave has been nipping off the whiskey bottle during his shift on Saturday nights. Which that show's been canceled, by the way. But somebody texted, guys, you should check the water content in that whiskey bottle, too. And I'm looking up at it. Take a look. That used to be a dark, dark amber whiskey. And it's pretty clear. I think
why wouldn't he fill it all the way up? Because now it's just really empty looking.
I'll tell you why. Because he knew we opened it and he couldn't remember how much we poured out of it. So he had to use his best guess. And he was wrong. That whiskey bottle has been watered down to. Because somebody on Saturday nights the last 2 weeks been nipping at it. Nipping at work. And we wonder why he can't figure out how to fill out a time card to get paid for it. Well, that show's been canceled. We'll talk more about that on Friday.
And you keep
protecting them. You keep protecting them.
Stan, What would happen if I stopped protecting him?
I'll tell you what would happen. Well, two things could happen. Tragedy. But the other thing, and I think he's quite smart, he'd find somebody else to protect him. He's smart.
So you
he's
don't,
smart that way.
You don't argue that he needs protecting.
Oh, it's too far gone. Is that him? Hold on. Is that him?
Guess who's on the phone?
Okay, good. Good. Yeah.
Hey, buddy. What's happening, man?
Hey, yeah. Bowie.
Hey, Bowie. What's up, man?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? I just caught, man, I was on my way home, and I caught this whiskey nipping thing.
Yeah, you've been drinking Saturday nights, haven't you?
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
man?
No. Oh, no. We know now. And you tried watering it down.
What?
The whole place knows about it.
Okay, Mr. Professor. How do you know it's watered down?
I'm looking
Have
at
you
it right now.
On it?
No, we're looking at it. First of all, it's not at the level we left it at.
Dude, I have
Second
a
of all,
stuff,
it's
man.
Not as dark as it was.
Look,
Oh my God, man.
He denies it, Stan. You're not getting any further. Yeah, is it true you're nursing a baby coon?
Dude, bros. I rescued a baby raccoon out of a ceiling today.
You rescued a baby raccoon that cannot live on its own. It's going to die.
Well,
it needs milk.
What happened? How did you find the raccoon?
No, what's that now?
How did you find the raccoon? What happened?
Well, apparently, Mama Raccoon, some of the ladies in the office kept hearing some, like, rumbling above their heads, you know, and they heard all these sounds like,
sounds like a cat.
Yeah, it sounds like a cat.
Yeah, well, it was given birth, bro.
and you took the coons from the mother.
And then you started
taking pictures of it, calling it Stan, and you're going to...
Is that the coon's name, Stan?
Well, of course. I thought that was a funny name. As I wasn't
Yeah, it's
Stan,
a laugh-a-minute riot. Your show's been canceled, by the way.
Yeah, I already know.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.